paper that was indeed stimulating. He stuck rigidly to time and allowed an opportunity to ask further questions. The paradigm that we must all seek to follow in the next 3 days. Can I introduce now the second speaker for this first of Peterborough session? And again, a brief biographical note. Professor Abiodun Hakim Oladiti is a senior lecturer in the Department of General Studies, the Doke Akintola University in the Oyo State of Nigeria. He has published significantly in the world of social and cultural history in Nigeria, and the title he's taken for his paper this morning is Justice in the Threshold of Culture. So would you please welcome Professor Oladiti.
Thank you very much. Yeah. The title of my paper is Justice in the Threshold of Culture, a Comparative Study of Yoruba and Islamic Legal System. I divide my paper into five, basically the abstract, the introduction, the notion of justice in plural societies, the Yoruba legal system, the Sharia legal system, otherwise known as the Islamic legal system, and also appraising the Islamic and Yoruba legal system. I move straight to the introduction. The legal system of both Yoruba and Islamic culture have been made to give the justice system of how human societies interact in order to enhance peace, stability, and social equilibrium in human interaction. It discusses the similarities and differences of both Islamic and Yoruba native cultures in Africa. Now I move straight to the notion of justice in plural societies. Justice is a component feature of plural societies to maintain equity, social justice, fairness, and equality to people of different group, ethnic background, and social orientation. The justice system in plural societies allow for differing notions about law and the supposed sanctions to be given to offenders irrespective of customary practices or belief systems in plural societies. Now, I move straight to the Yoruba legal system. The Yoruba legal system is politically structured for the purpose of maintaining peaceful coexistence and healthy social relations within the community. The chiefs and elders of the communities usually made judicial pronouncements based on knowledge of traditional ways of life, circumscription, and adherence to the truth. Now, the Sharia legal system. The Islamic legal system denotes Muslim system of laws, which encompasses the sum total of Islamic law as contained in the Quran and Hadiths of Prophet Muhammad. Islamic legal system is the comprehensive, all-encompassing set of rules which regulates the entire life of Muslim, ranging from belief system to worship, interpersonal relationship, including property transactions, contracts, sales, criminal law, and morality. Also contained in it are injunctions regulating Muslim relationship with non-Muslims and even with plants and animals. Now, appraising the Islamic and Yoruba legal system in plural society, we could observe that the essence of the laws that have been made in both Islam and Yoruba culture we are basically to improve common good and provide healthy social relation and interaction between people. The Islamic and Yoruba legal system in the administration of justice was maintained in order to promote social cohesion, peace, and harmony so as to maintain peace and social equilibrium. In Islam and Yoruba cultures of Africa, the legal systems are of crucial importance to reduce criminal behaviors among people. However, the punishment in the treatment of criminal behaviors differs in certain respects. For example, if an individual commits fornication, he or she will be given 100 lashes of strokes in Islam. But in the Yoruba culture, the punishment is that the individuals will be looked as an object of mockery and disgraceful or chorus songs will be sung to the offender. That is the practice in Yoruba cultural system. It is unlike Islam that certain strokes of cane will be given
in order to correct that behavior and to reduce the continuity of such crime within the society. In conclusion, it has been shown from the foregoing that the legal system of both Islam and Yoruba culture had contributed significantly to regulate people's behavior in certain conditions, most especially in imperial society. The legal cultures of both Islam and Yoruba were based on natural justice, equity, and good conscience. The fundamental assumption of the laws were created by ethnic and religious orientation, but is aimed at the provision of common good to promote peace, orderliness, and good behavior among individuals, groups, and communities at large. In theory and practice, the Islamic legal system is not integrated into the socio-political organization of the colonial and post-colonial government in Nigerian state, as it is founded in Ilorin and some other Muslim-dominated towns in northern parts of Nigeria. Nonetheless, the practice of Islamic legal system is well known among the Muslims in Southwest Yoruba society, and it is used informally in dealing with minor cases of divorce, marital problems, trade disagreements between two people, and legal or illegal opinion on religious matters such as daily prayers, zakat, as well as other pillars of Islam. The justice in Islam is not antagonistic to ethnic Yoruba legal culture. Hence, the similarities and differences showed how communities have been able to harness cultural pluralism to forge a viable and progressive relationship. Thank you.
Thank you very much. My name is Abdulkarim Aziz. I want to disagree with you on your description about the Yoruba legal system. You've given us a picture of a Yoruba legal system as saying they're a perfect system without any exception. So my question is, historically speaking, you find most of the elders or the leaders in this particular system you just talked about in a bid for territorial, you know, domination, fighting against their own neighbors and subjugating them. The same elders and this Yoruba you've described were said historically to connive with the colonialists during slave trade and sell some of their own subjects to the colonial masters. So how do you describe a system like this as being fair, just, in accordance with natural justice, equity, and good conscience? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now, in dealing or discussing what you have rightly mentioned, that during the colonial period, there were instances of which the chiefs, the leaders, sold their brothers into slavery and so on. Now, as true as that is, but in cases relating to people and how they relate with one another, the social cohesion that society wants to maintain in traditional Yoruba society was to maintain healthy interpersonal relation among groups of people living with one another, and to ensure that things were based on truth, social justice, and fairness. In Yoruba communities, the legal system is anchored on the cultural belief system of the people, as it has to do with helping one another in terms of promoting good conscience and a healthy social relation within the community. So that is how they were able to do it at that time. But at the point at which you were talking about, that is during the colonial period, when they begin to sell their brothers to the foreigners. Well, it was at that point in their history that they had to do so because of the need for money and other wealth that they could acquire. But in the structural, organic structure of the Yoruba system, it is basically based, that is the philosophy on which it is based from, to provide healthy social living among people, most especially in rural societies.
I've got a question at the front, and then I'll...
I think Mr. Akim has been very generous by giving such a short paper. If there are questions to Professor Strauss, he can also still be asked to him.
Yes, let's take questions first of all on Professor Adita's paper, and then in the luxury of the extra time, we can return to Professor Strauss. There's a question here from the front.
And Obed from the Investor Watson. In your presentation, you stated that the Yoruba system, legal system, is derived from tradition and culture. And you also stated that Islam, as the law is also derived from the beliefs of Islam. Now, in the traditional system, where do you make a distinction between religion and law? Because in that case which you mentioned of a person committing adultery or immoral behavior, it in a traditional system it could also be a curse. Yes. So how or where do you make that difference between what is religious and what is law?
Thank you very much. The difference between what is law and what is culture, is that right? The question, yeah, is that the law is an integral part of the cultural belief system of the people that has to do with what is right or what is wrong. That is as accepted in the conscience and belief system of the people. That is the law. Then the culture has to do with the way of life of people on how to regulate human behavior, most especially as it has to do with keeping, with improving of common good and the welfare for the well-being of people in the society.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think I just want to ask, because from your presentation I seem to get that you somewhat gave oversimplistic perspective of Muslim law in terms of the issue of the penal system. Because when we talk about the lashing of the individual, I think there are a number of other conditions that normally come into play. Because the same with the cutting of the hand, there's no such a thing as that Saudi Arabia or Iran can just apply them willy-nilly. There are a number of conditions before you can basically do that. So can you just comment on it? Because partly because if we talk about chopping the hand, and the environment supposed to be free of any poverty, or in other words, they shouldn't be poor individuals. In other words, the specific conditions have. And the same with the issue of lashing of the individual. They must have been witnesses to have seen Mr. X and Ms. Y having had an affair. So if you don't have them, I mean, how can you basically do them? And I think here specifically with the case of Amina Lawal, I mean, a few years back. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's a very good example. Because the procedures used in Islamic legal system usually have some principles and procedures before a judgment or pronouncement can be made for punishment. Usually in Islam, for example, if someone stole a loaf of a bread and that person is hungry, it is expected that you should not chop the hand of that person in Islam. Ideally, what is expected is that once you investigate that if such a person, because that person is hungry, and that's why he decided to steal the bread because he could not afford it at that time, you pardon that person, grant that person mercy at that particular point in time. But when it is more than that, then that is if evidence has been established that not that the person is hungry, but he only wants to use that opportunity to steal more, then in such cases, the interpretation of the jury is to amputate such hand. Also, in regards to flogging and punishment for adultery, because usually in Islam, for adultery, the punishment is that you stone the person to death if it was discovered that an individual commits adultery. Now, if it is for a woman and that happened, it is expected that, one, there must be a substantial evidence of at least 4 witnesses to be able to confirm and say it is true and it is correct that that person committed adultery. Before that, if there is no evidence of such, such punishment will not be given to individuals who have perceived to have committed that adultery. That is in Islam. Because the procedures for punishment in Islam is usually regulated. And most times, it is very, very difficult to achieve because of the secrecy that may be involved before one may be able to know. And having 4 evidences before you can prove that that individual commits that crime. So that is the procedure in Islam, and it explains the procedure in which we can punish or give punishment to people who commit one offenses or the other.
The gentleman right in the back has been extremely patient waiting to ask his question. I'll then go to the gentleman to my left, and then please to the lady in the back. So I'll take those 3 questions and in that order. Yes, please.
Yes, my name is Sinamo Molisiwa. I'm inspired by your paper, but my question is about interrogation on natural justice. We have, you know, I speak as a seed of Abraham. We have the elders at the gate. We also have Sharia law, but we have African law. And the problems we are seeing in your country, you know, coming from the old school when you guys still had the province of Biafra and so forth, is that the elders seem to have gone out of action, and I'm speaking from the absence of Christian activities that ultimately brought about the Islamic and the Sharia law superseding and taking over, bringing the whole country into the situation we read about today in the South. What happened to the elders at the gate? Where were the Christian religion in terms of space within the law?
Now, in answering that question, most especially in the Christian South, Christianity has been instituted through the common law. And that is why the court system is now being used as a kind of example to promote Christian laws in the country. But aside that, Christianity does not have an institutional law as we have like Islam. But it is only integrated in the English customary system of legal practice that is based on good conscience, good belief, and reasoning in order to promote good behavior. So it is now integrated, most especially in the Christian South and in the English customary law system that we have in Nigeria. That is how we have it and integrated in the English common law system that we have in Nigeria.
Hello, my name is Salim. From your presentation, there seems to be an apparent conflict between what obtains in the northern part of the country and what obtains in the south. And the conflict is aggravated by the fact that the Yorubas in southern Nigeria, unlike the Muslims, the Yorubas in the northern part of the country have legally, constitutionally recognized Sharia. So what are the Yoruba Muslims currently doing to ensure that the legal system, the Islamic legal system, at least the personal aspect of it, is applicable, you know, in the southern part of the country? And I will illustrate. For the Yoruba Muslims, how, in the case of a conflict, maybe in an inheritance issue, if a Muslim dies, a Yoruba Muslim dies, which of the legal systems, three legal systems we have in the country will apply to his estate. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much for that important observation. Yes, in the Yoruba South, the Muslim Yoruba South, usually the application of the Sharia system is usually informally structured among the Yoruba Muslims. Usually when an individual dies, in Yoruba legal system, it is not expected that women are to inherit any property from a deceased father. But in Islam, one-fourth of it goes to the children of the sibling of the deceased father. But informally, in the Yoruba society, social structure, the practice of the Sharia or the application of the Sharia among Muslims is usually done informally among families and the local imams in trying to regulate and give certain practices as injuncted in the Holy Quran and belief system of the Muslim to really give property, I mean inheritance, and also provide other basic Islamic laws like as its application to ritual worship, ritual baths, and some other things that are related to worship in Islam. Basically, it is done informally. But as at the moment, during the colonial period, there were instances in which Muslim groups, like in 1932, wrote several petitions to the district officers, colonial authorities, requesting that the institutionalization of Islamic legal system should be instituted in the native court system in Lagos as well as in Ibadan. But because there were objections from the chiefs then that the native customary system is the only structure that was recognized and that there are all other sufficient representatives of the Muslim groups that were in the native court system, and that alone makes the Ibadan native court system under Yoruba native court system allowable in law in order for them to operate within the society. So it was not approved, and since then, even under post-colonial situation, attempts have been made to introduce Sharia within the legal system of the Yoruba culture, but to date it has not been considered and given any consideration within the institutional and structural framework of the Yoruba society. That is why it has been so till date.
And now, last, we've been waiting for one.
Thank you.
Thank
you. I'm Davina Perumal from the University of KwaZulu-Natal, Durban. I too am intrigued by your title, Justice and the Threshold of Culture, a comparative study, but I'm going to throw in a new subject of study in your paper, and that is one particularly concerned with gender and gender equality. In South Africa, the mandate to constitutional court judges, being the supreme and apex court of the land, is that in conflicts between culture and gender equality will trump cultural positions. I hear you speak of the colonialist development, and certainly for South Africa, the difficulty for me has been the colonialist civilizing mission, the collusion between, or seeming collusion between, the colonizers, the colonized, and the replication of those colonized narratives in the judiciary. I'm interested to hear from you what the experiences have been in the Yoruba and Islamic legal systems where there has been particularly a clash between aspects of culture that subverted women's rights and children's rights and upheld masculinist practices. Thank you.
Now, thank you very much. That is one of the usually contested situations that usually happen in Yoruba culture, most especially as it regards to gender rights and participation. Usually, women are not involved in lawmaking in terms of regulating or giving judicial pronouncements on the legal procedures in Islam, just as well as in Yoruba culture. So that is one of the things that usually happen cultures of both Islam and Yoruba culture that makes it similar, because women are not allowed to give judicial pronouncement or even make laws or regulate the behavior of people within the society. It is usually done by the state through the communities, through the chiefs and the elders in trying to protect good behavior and orderliness in the society. So in like the question you asked related to how gender and Islamic narratives is being done during the colonial period, usually it is the men that usually come out to make decisions on whatever that should happen or create within the community, because they are those ones that are recognized by the law and the colonial authorities by them to comment on issues that has to do with state matters. So that is how it operates during the colonial period.
There's a very, very short point there, and then there's a question which I exercise in my executive would like to raise. Just your very short point.
Thank you very much. The reason that I was pleading with you is because thank you very much. And the reason I was pleading with you is because when I look here, I could see that I'm one of the minorities. So please bear with me and with the other chairs. Thank you so much, the paper. I'm confused. The theme here is religion and law in Africa. So that's where I start my understanding. And when we talk about Christianity and Islam and others, these are the religions that came, even in Nigeria. But I've not heard you talking about the indigenous religion, African religion, because we're talking about the common good here. And for instance, you are using the colonial terms, because when it comes to the chiefs and the Yorubas, you are talking about culture. This is what the missionary said, that we don't have religion, we've got culture. You are still saying that even now. And I was also, I'm not a legal person, I'm just a theologian, forgive me. Even to use the terms, the natives, these were the name terms that were used by anthropologists then and the government officials. So have you moved forward from Nigeria? And now the question, my lady asked a question there. If a woman, with Sharia law, I'm worried, if a woman gets pregnant, then it is the woman who feels the brunt. But the person who has made her to be pregnant is free. Can you say this is a common good? What is the status of indigenous religion in your country? Thank you.
Thank you very much. The state of the indigenous religion is what is the integral part of the Yoruba culture. Because you cannot divorce the Yoruba religion from the culture, because they are both interwoven. Yes. No, in Yoruba culture, it is interwoven. In Islam also, the culture and the law, the legal system is also interwoven. Because without the law, the cultural behaviors of the people will not be a kind of created to develop a kind of common good for all. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that the religion of the Yoruba is an integral aspect of the Yoruba legal culture, which has to do with regulating people's behavior in terms of interpersonal relations, social dealing, interaction, and also maintaining a common good and healthy society to be frowned from stealing. Offenses that are committed are usually seen as a kind of disturbing to the gods as well as the human. Not only that, the ritual duties that we have. Because in certain families, there are certain rituals that are forbidden for people to partake in Yoruba culture. And when these are committed, it is usually seen as an offense that are usually committed against the individuals and people in the state. So that's how it is. And I understand what you are talking about in terms of using natives and tribes to describe the colonial people. Well, it was part of the historical experience and episodes of the Yoruba people that has to do with colonialism, using tribes and natives to describe the indigenous cultural people and their belief system. So that is the reason why I used it.